Welcome back to season two of the Ivy League Prep Academy podcast, equipping you to successfully pursue the college of your dreams. We believe everyone deserves to reach their full potential, and the admissions process shouldn't hold you back.
Hello, and welcome back, everyone, to the Ivy League Prep Academy podcast. You know, sometimes we do interviews that I just think are so useful and so practical for so many of our listeners. And I think that today is one of those days. We have a lot of students that begin this process when they're quite young. And when you're in seventh grade or eighth grade, even ninth grade, and beginning to figure out your core values, beginning to figure out what kind of impact you want to make in the world, that can be a bit overwhelming. And often it's really easy to get stuck and not know how to get yourself unstuck. And so today we have Twisha Sharma with us. And I'm so excited to get her story out to the world, because getting stuck is really normal at this age. You're moving from a mindset that is kind of finite and has clear boundaries in a high school to this infinite world of solving real problems in the real world. And it can be a little bit jarring, especially when you're only in seventh or eighth or ninth grade, and or 10th grade, right, even. And so Twisha is joining us today. And Twisha, maybe I'll just share a little bit of your story. But actually, before we do that, thank you for joining us. Let's actually hear your voice. And Twisha, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So excited to have you here. So let me get back to kind of where my mind was just a second ago. When you joined the Ivy League Challenge, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you were in eighth grade. Is that right? The first time you did a cohort?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, one of the things that I like to find out is why people joined in the first place. And you may not remember clearly today, but do you remember kind of what the problem was or what the issue was that you hoped joining the Ivy League Challenge might help you resolve?
Well, honestly, at first, I just wanted to like get into a good college, and everywhere I saw had all the same advice. And I was like, it's clearly not working, because I see all these people who are like online, I keep seeing like valedictorian gets like rejected from a million schools. And I'm like, this is not working out. And I had to like search everywhere until I ran into the Ivy League Challenge.
Okay, perfect. So you were an ambitious student trying to figure this out. And eventually you ran into the podcast, or you read one of my articles or something, and then you got into my world. And then you joined the Ivy League Challenge. It was eighth grade, is that right, when you joined?
Yes.
So tell us about what life was like as an eighth grader. I think eighth graders live, you know, different eighth graders are going to have very different lives. So tell us what your situation was like the first time you took the Ivy League Challenge outside of our course. So just tell me what life was like. As far as, were you busy? Were you bored? Somewhere in between? Do you stay busy with a job or an internship or an instrument or a sport? Or what was your thing, and what was life like when you joined the Ivy League Challenge?
So in eighth grade, we got a new English teacher, and we switched math teachers a lot. So we got a lot of homework, and I was always doing homework at home. Like, it was really bad. My relationship with my family was non-existent. Like, I was in my room 24/7, just doing my work. I liked school a lot because my friends were there, but I literally hated everything else. And I was a very big mess. I just sort of did whatever came my way and did not think about anything else.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And so you were super, super busy. Maybe the teacher changed. Maybe the school that you're in is more competitive, but you were really, really busy. And in that busyness, you took the Ivy League Challenge. Normally we talk a lot, and maybe we'll get to some of this, but we talk about, you know, just figuring out your core values and then your impact project. But your story, I'll give the readers kind of a roadmap for where I think that this conversation is going to go, because you rejoined the Ivy League Challenge this year. And I know that you've been a lot happier about your success with your impact project this year compared to last year. Last year, as an eighth grader, you were super busy. Then you took the class. and you tried to figure out what you could do for your impact project. What can you tell us about how that went for you last year?
So last year I was like, I didn't pay enough attention to my impact project. I was too busy and I was like, I'll just do it like tomorrow. And then I got too lazy. And then I was like, nah. And then I was, I kept pushing it back. Just being like, you know what? I'll do it later. And in the summer, I realized, I was like, you know what? I need to get my life together. I can't keep doing stuff like this.
Okay, so tell me more about that. During the summer, you had a come to, to figure out your life situation. Tell me about that situation. What was it like?
Honestly, I don't know. Something just came over me. I was like, I'm not going to let ninth grade in my high school life be like eighth grade, which was really bad. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take control of my life. I'm going to be an academic weapon. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to be a cool student. And that's exactly what I did. Like, organizing your life is really hard, but it pays off like crazy. So that's what I started doing. I was like, I need to start doing this. And then I started working on my impact projects.
So you decided that you were going to shape up and really do your best. And then you realized that you had allowed your impact project to slip. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So then you started to refocus on it. What was it like to refocus? Did you feel lost? Did you feel like, man, where do I even begin? Or did you feel like, I know exactly where to begin. I just didn't begin before. So I'm going to start. How did it feel for you at that stage?
I did not know where to begin. I started taking an interest in physics because I found my mom is a quantum physics person. Like, she makes quantum computers. So I was like, oh, physics must be interesting. So I started looking at it. And it was interesting because it is. And then...
Objectively interesting, yeah.
And that's what got me into science in the first place. So I was like, you know what? I'll just make like a website on it. Like, I have a physics textbook at home and I'll just use that. So my first pages were on physics. And then we did bio at Valley.
Hold on. Valley Christian. This is, so for the story and for the listeners, I believe that we're still in the summer before ninth grade. Did you start your website in the summer before ninth grade, or was that later?
A little later, like during ninth grade, because I was like, I realized that I let my impact project slip after I started ninth grade.
Okay, so let's go back even a little bit further, back to eighth grade, and what you were thinking when we finished the Ivy League Challenge, and what you were thinking you wanted to do with your impact project at that time. Do you remember what you were, where your mind was in eighth grade the first time we went through?
I think I just liked coffee and libraries. So I was like, oh, I'll build a community on that. I think I remember that.
That's right. That's what I remember. So your first idea, if I remember correctly, and this may help you kind of spur new memories, but the first idea was, community building. In the Ivy League Challenge, there's a few approaches that we can take, right? You can dive into your academic curiosity, and then through that, deep search of academics, you can identify some of the problems that that field of academics is trying to solve. Begin working on those problems. Or you have a clear problem that you want to solve, and you start working to solve that problem that's going to lead to academics. Either way, you have this kind of research and real-world application kind of experience happening. And the third thing that we can do is we can try to bring out more of what brings us joy. So sometimes musicians try to help add music to their community, or even scientists. We've had some scientists talk about how it's kind of a combination where let me take the stuff that I love about science and share it with a broader community, and maybe even solve a problem while I'm at it, right? Well, maybe there's a gender gap in my community in this particular science field. Maybe we can help to eliminate that gap. And so they're solving a problem while building a community. And at that time, I remember our conversations, because you would stay after class almost every week in eighth grade to talk about your ideas, which was wonderful, by the way. It was so fun. But I remember, saying, oh, I love these things, but what do I do with stuff that I love? And so the first idea was to maybe create a coffee club that's like a coffee club book club. And who knows where that's going to go. But you begin, one of the kind of ideas, one of the core elements of a good impact project is you start small and you gather data and you build momentum based on that, right? You can pivot when you after you get started. So the idea was maybe we create a library, that a free, you know, community library where people can donate books and borrow books, and just there's no librarian, but you, as you're walking by, there's a bookshelf and you can open it up and take a book or leave a book. Maybe we create clubs where people come and talk about their favorite book as we drink coffee. But somehow we're going to start this project by building community around the things that you love and share more of what you love in your community. And then maybe we'll figure out some solution. Do you remember those conversations now?
For sure.
Okay. So what was that like? Did you feel like, I don't know how to do that? Or did you feel like I'll get started, but just like you said earlier, I'll just put it off because I don't have anything to do today, but I'll start tomorrow. Or what was the situation in eighth grade with that idea and how, what you did with that?
So in eighth grade, particularly, I think I liked the idea, but I was not motivated enough to actually like put it into action. Because okay. I definitely liked those things, but I didn't love them. Like, you need real motivation to actually go forth in an impact project. So if your basis isn't strong enough, then it doesn't work.
So good. Okay, really valuable. All right, so you felt like that was a good idea, but it wasn't something that you were ready to throw yourself into. And mm-hmm. probably because of that, it was easy to procrastinate. And once you start procrastinating, then that just builds on top of more procrastination. And pretty soon, a year has gone by. And so now we get to summer after eighth grade. This ball has kind of rolled away and you're not building communities around coffee and books. You're not doing anything at all. And you just kind of, it hits you one day and you say, oh, I've got to put my life together. Is that right?
Yep. I was like, I need my muscle mass.
Okay, awesome. So you start, yeah, you start working out, you start putting your life together, you organize your time, organize your activities. And then early in ninth grade, you rejoined the Ivy League Challenge. Why is that?
Honestly, I don't know. Something just told me to. I had a gut feeling. It's like, you should rejoin. Something was telling me to rejoin. So I just like was like, sure, I'll rejoin.
I'm so glad you had a gut feeling. all right. So just so that the listeners are clear, I know most of my listeners are my own students and my own community. You already know this. But some of my listeners aren't in the Ivy League Challenge. Anytime you sign up for the Ivy League Challenge, you just have a digital token. Just let me know. You can retake the course at any time. And that's really, really important because an eighth grader's brain development is very different from a 10th grader's brain development. And so the same material, especially when it's about your core values and the kind of impact you want to make in the world and the legacy you want to leave behind, like these are big ideas. And the more your brain has developed, this course becomes very, very different as that brain develops. So you retook it as a freshman. Tell us about your experience the second time through. Was it, I'm just curious, what was it like? Did it feel like same old, like I remember everything about this and it was boring, or did it feel all new and fresh, or what was it like to retake the class?
It was different because I already knew what you were going to say. Like, you didn't say the exact same things, but I knew what the big idea was. Uh-huh. And then I sort of like it made sense of like what I should do next. So it feels like, you know how once you understand something and then you watch the exact same like thing, thing on it, and then it's everything just makes sense to you and you're like, this feels great. Like that's the same. Yeah, that's what I felt like.
Perfect description. I love that. So you had enough of a foundation that the first time you were learning these ideas and agreeing, you supported it, but you didn't have the foundation to immediately make it make sense. Yeah. The second time through, you had that foundation. So you hear it and you're like, okay, I know what to do. I remember this advice and now I know what to do about it in my situation. Am I taking too much liberty with that interpretation of your answer?
No, that makes perfect sense. That's basically what happens.
That's how you felt. Perfect. Okay. So the second time through, you knew what to do, and tell us about that. What was it like Since we're kind of focused on, maybe I will, maybe let's just also do the core values since we're here. The first time through, did you feel like you were able to clarify your core values as an eighth grader?
I think, yeah, my core values, I definitely did clarify, but I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do with them and what I was actually passionate about.
Yeah, I think that's really, really normal. Okay, so core values, and what changed for you as a result of clarifying what matters most to you? Did that help you in some way that would be helpful for the listeners to understand? Even before, you know, you were still kind of figuring this stuff out, you didn't have that foundation so that you knew exactly what to do the second time through. But that first time through, did clarifying your core values help you understand how to behave or interact or how to think in ways that made life a little bit easier? Or did you feel like it wasn't until the second time through that change happened for you?
Yeah, I think I did feel like a lot of clarification after I went through the second time. Like everything made more sense to me. It's even the core value stuff, even although my core values didn't really change the second time around, but they felt like more meaningful, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, it really does. Okay, amazing. All right, so let's get to the impact project, since that's kind of what I'm most excited for the audience to hear about. I think this is going to be so helpful for them. First time through, had some great ideas, even talked to me at length about it after class. So we kind of knew an option, but not enough passion. That led to procrastination. Procrastination built and then spiraled out of control. And pretty soon you got nothing. And then summer, you say, oh, hold on, I've got to take my life back. And then you're back in the class. The class makes more sense. Not only does it make sense immediately, but you know how to apply what we're talking about to your situation directly. And then tell us about what you decided to do the second time through. Tell us about your journey of figuring out your impact project. You already got started. You started a website, but tell us like how that began and how it has evolved.
So at first I had literally no ideas and just in like, what's that word for like, you have a feeling of, oh, whatever. Like you have, yeah, I had an intuition that physics was interesting because my mom's, you know, obviously is a quantum physicist. Like, so I was like, okay, I started like watching some videos on it, like, you know, that kind of stuff, asking around. I asked my physics teacher stuff. And he was like, oh yeah, like you should talk to this girl named Jennifer and you should do this. So after talking to those people, learning about physics, I was like, what am I supposed to do with this knowledge? And I remember, I think I got on a call with you and you were like, oh, you can make like a website or a podcast. And I was like, oh yeah, but I don't really like talking because talking scares me. So I was like, you know what? I'll make a website. I love to write.
Yeah. And amazing.
And then I sort of like started on my website with physics, but now it's centered on biology. That's a longer story. Yeah.
So let's talk about that. What's the point of your website? I mean, who has a website about physics and biology? That sounds really strange. So tell me what your website is about and why and what you're doing.
So my website is about like sharing and inspiring other people to love science just as much as I do and like giving quality education to people everywhere.
Yes, I love it. Okay.
And it might be odd that it's with physics and biology, because at first it had no direction. I was just like, I'm just going to put whatever on the site. Like, I just want to do something. And then at school, we had a biology course at my school, and I literally loved it so much. Like, I was like, this is crazy. Like, some of the bio stuff I learned, like, I thought bio was really goofy when I first entered it, because the only thing I had learned is that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. And I was like, never again. And then we started talking about stuff and we got into the cell unit and I was like, the cell is crazy. You've got like thousands of reactions at once and like cell signaling and protein kinases, like tell me more. Yeah. And that's why I started like writing about biology. And now it's literally centered on biology.
Cool. So if I were to go to your website, then maybe I'm a ninth grade student also taking biology. I might be able to read your articles about the different pieces of biology that you love, that you're discovering, and maybe that helps me as I learn biology. Maybe I am able to read that and say, oh, I listened to my professor talk about biology, or my teacher talk about biology. I read the textbook, but now I can read Twisha's experience with this and how she describes it in her words, and perhaps a ninth grader who's in biology can learn the material differently because they're hearing it from you know, a high school perspective, a high school student's description and the high school student's perspective. Is that your thoughts there?
Yeah. I mean, textbooks can get really hard to read.
Perfect. Okay. So if I'm a ninth grade student taking biology, maybe I love it, maybe I hate it, but I would want to know your website so that I can go and read about your take on these different ideas, because somehow it sparked passion and excitement in you. And if I hate biology, maybe I can get a clue as to, you know, what I might appreciate if I just could open my eyes. Maybe you can open my eyes. If I already love biology, then maybe I can share my excitement with you and comment on your posts, or I can collaborate with you or something like that. So I can see a lot of teenagers wanting to go and read your work and read about your blog. How would a teenager find your website?
So I have an Instagram and a LinkedIn right now where I post updates on everything. Like, I have a podcast too, and I post updates on my podcast and my website on those things, on those apps.
The podcast that you didn't like to talk, so you didn't do. We'll get there in just a second, I think. So you have Instagram and LinkedIn. Awesome. Tell us your handles, or how do we find you on LinkedIn? How do we find you on Instagram?
So my Instagram handle is The Scientific Swari. So, or you can just search out my name, Twisha Sharma, on it, and you'll find it there. And my LinkedIn is just Twisha Sharma. It's literally just Twisha, and then there's a picture of me in the front.
Okay, perfect. All right, so we can get a LinkedIn, Twisha, T-W-I-S-H-A, Sharma, just like it sounds, S-H-A-R-M-A. I'm happy to put links in the show notes as well. So as people are listening, if you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and somewhere that has the show notes, then you can open up the show notes and just click on the links. They can take you directly to your Instagram or your LinkedIn feed or whatever links you give me, the website directly. And then I'm even thinking, you know, a teacher that's listening, because a lot of teachers listen to my podcast. I'm thinking a teacher that's listening might say, hold on, that sounds amazing. I want to get my students to read this website as part of, you know, the biology units, or I want my students to create a website like that. Like, as you're writing about biology, Twisha, you are reinforcing the learning that you're doing. You're experiencing this outstanding, you know, learning process. Even if nothing else, you're benefiting dramatically from writing these articles and preparing for the podcast episode. And so I imagine a teacher may want to put their students in contact with you to collaborate, to start writing articles with you, or to just read your articles and then they write their own or create their own blog or their own website of some kind. And so I can see a lot of different, you know, groups of people, students, parents, teachers, that would be interested in finding your website. Tell me about your podcast. You just barely said that you, at the beginning, you wanted to share your excitement for physics and biology, but you hated to talk or were scared to talk. But then you just dropped this bomb that you actually literally have a podcast. So tell me about that. How did you decide to do a podcast?
Well, first, I didn't want to. And then you urged me to do it. And so I was like, you know what? I'll do it. I'll give it a shot. What's the worst thing that could happen? And so I published the first episode by literally just recording one page of my site and putting a math problem in the front. And I was like, I got this. I got my abs. Look at me. And I published it with like the most self-confidence ever. And then I noticed later, two weeks or three weeks later, that I had 2 views. And I was so happy. I was like, 2 views? That's more than, I literally thought nobody would ever look at this.
So where is your podcast posted?
So I posted on my Instagram and LinkedIn as well, but it's on Buzzsprout more particularly. You suggested that app to me.
Yeah, Buzzsprout is fantastic because it can link to all of the different platforms. Okay, so it's on Buzzsprout. And what's the name of your podcast? How do we find that?
It's literally just the Scientific Story podcast. I'm sorry, guys. I was not original at all.
Okay. So the Scientific Soiree, and we can link that, but Scientific Soiree is a weird, soiree. I off the top of my head can't think of how to spell soiree. Can you spell the handle for us, the Scientific Soiree?
Mm-hmm. So scientific is scientific, but soiree is S-O-I-R-E-E.
Perfect. I'm so glad I asked. I could be the embarrassing guy that admits he doesn't know how to spell that. Because I think there might be one or two other listeners that were like, what? Perfect. Okay. So Scientific Soiree, podcast, Instagram, and then you also post all of these things on LinkedIn, which I'm cheering you on over there. You're doing amazing work. And tell us kind of your thoughts for the future. Obviously, you're in ninth grade. We emphasize over and over and over again. We start small, we build experience, we gather data, and we build momentum, right? We make new decisions based on our experience. So if you started a coffee club and a book club, we would have different data points and we'd know kind of what direction to go. Now you've started a website and a podcast to kind of share your excitement for these academic fields. You're just beginning. You're at the very, very beginning of this process. How do you see this evolving at this stage? Of course, with new data, you're going to get new ideas. So we're not worried about, trying to figure out exactly what the end game is, but just what are your thoughts at this stage about how that's going to work?
Honestly, I have no idea. I'm adding to my website and I'm like talking to new people about it for sure. And like on how to like go further from here. But I'm like applying to some summer programs too and like reading my bio textbooks right now so I can get like, I can be knowledgeable. But other than that, I don't know where to go anymore. So I'm like, I was like going to ask you about it someday, a couple of days ago. And yeah, I'm very confused, but I hope that I can like work with a professor or something because I would love to know or in general, just learn anything from anyone.
Yeah. I have so many ideas, and I can see this progressing in any number of different ways. Like you've created the foundation, and it's like the hub, and now spokes could go in a number of different directions to kind of move outwardly. And I think you've got lots of opportunity, but we'll save that. We'll kind of leave the listener on a bit of a cliffhanger there, because I believe that in a few months, you will have evolved in some really meaningful way and we'll want to come back to the story and we'll let the listeners kind of wonder where we're going to go from here. There's one more big topic that I want to discuss that when I caught back up with you, you told me this was a total game changer. And that is in the new to the Ivy League Challenge is our mentoring program, right? We have what's called the Global Impact Council, where teens who have already executed an impact project can then mentor younger teens that are just getting started in the Ivy League Challenge. And your mentor is Katie. Maybe I'll kind of throw the spotlight on her because she's done such a fantastic job. You're not her only mentee. The other student that she works with two that I've spoken with. The other one loves her just as much as you love her. But you told me that her, knowing that you were going to meet with her and the accountability that created and just answering her questions was a total game changer. So can you talk about that for us a little bit? The first time through, we didn't have the Global Impact Council. We didn't have a mentoring program. And 1 year later, we do have a mentoring program that's still, we're still figuring out the detail. We're still working out how to maximize its benefit. But tell us what that was like for you and how having a mentor the second time through was different than the first time through.
So Katie was a huge help. Like, I don't know what I'd be doing without her because she literally she keeps me on track because she makes little weekly goals for me and we like check on what I've done so far and what I can do next. And I think my biggest problem right now is advertising my podcast and my website. So Katie's like gives me a ton of ideas. She got me on Instagram in the first place and made me follow everyone at the Global Impact Council so they could follow me back.
Yes. Yeah.
And she like really helps with staying on track, not procrastinating, keeping your focus on your goal, and making sure you get your work done. She has great ideas. I think it helps a lot to have a mentor.
Yeah. I just want to publicly thank Katie because I totally agree. And there are other outstanding mentors in the program. And it's just so good to hear from your perspective, how valuable she has been. And I totally agree with you. So one of the big calls that I'm making to, I know a lot of my listeners are my own students. You've been through the Ivy League Challenge before. Maybe you got off track. Maybe you're doing great. But I really want to, stage of this podcast, I love what has happened for you, Tuisha. And you're the one who said, hold on, I've got to put my life together. I'm going to make this happen. And you're the one that did that. And then there's something inside your heart that said, I need to retake the Ivy League Challenge. I'm so glad that you listened and you did it. And then you got a mentor, and Katie has been a game changer for you. And I just want everyone who has been in the Ivy League Challenge to realize, number one, your brain is different than the first time you went through. So retake the class just because the class is going to be different because you're ready to take in more information. You have a foundation, you'll understand things immediately, and you'll immediately be able to say, oh, I know what to do now. I know what to do with this. And the second reason is not just your brain is different and you're more mature and you're going to benefit by retaking the class. The second big one is now we have the Global Impact Council. We have teens empowering teens to change the world, right? We have teens holding you accountable, helping you set goals. And like what you just said, Tuisha, total game changer for you. And I hope that everyone can hear that because that by itself is reason to retake the class and to benefit again. So I think that that's absolutely beautiful. Tuisha, I'm excited because I think that your foundation that you are setting right now has such incredible potential. There are so many ways that you can take this foundation and build it into something really impactful, really meaningful, and really exciting, not just for you and for your immediate community, but for a really wide-ranging community because you've done this online. And online, that means that you can impact people that you are not even aware of, people that are around the world, all around the world. And lots of opportunities for collaboration, lots of opportunities for any number of things. So I'm super excited about the foundation that you have set. Even though you don't know where you're going from here, would you be open, Tuisha, to a follow-up interview in like 6 months where we discover together, the listeners can discover your journey with you, and kind of hear about what pivots you've made and how this project has progressed? I think that parents and teens alike would listen in and say, yeah, Tuisha, I don't know where she's going to go because, you know, they might be feeling just like you. Okay, you started a website. Now, what do you do with that? And so in 6 months, in whatever direction you take it, because I can see a dozen different directions that you could go, whatever direction you decide to go would be super interesting for them. Would you be open to a follow-up interview like that?
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be so much fun.
So good. I think you'd be incredible. One last thing before we wrap up today. If you were to talk to someone, you know, who's a couple steps behind you and just give your best advice, what advice would you have for, you know, a younger version of yourself or someone else that kind of wants to get to where you're at right now? What advice do you have for them?
I think the biggest thing that holds you back when you're making an impact project is probably your own mindset. Like, it's probably your own, like, I don't know if I can do this or I'm too lazy. Like, just take the first step, I would say, because after you learn to take the first step, it gets a lot easier. And like, okay, to start my website, it took me like a week to like get myself to the state of like working on it. But for my podcast, the day I decided I wanted a podcast, I just immediately started working on the script. Like, if that makes sense, it's like, once you take the first step the first time, it just gets so much easier. Just take it. Like, stop thinking about it, organize your life, and just take the step.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good. Tuisha, I can't thank you enough, and I can't wait until our next interview. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for your incredible story and also for your life advice. I think it's absolutely on point. Everyone who listens is going to benefit, and I'm so grateful that you joined us today. Thank you, Tuisha.
Thank you.
Music for this episode came from We Are Here by Declare P. I'm Steve Gardner. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thanks for listening.